It's been a tough couple of years for political prognosticators. The 2016 election sent the majority of them back to their data to take another hard look because they thought for sure Hillary would win. That said, it's with some caution that we buy into the predictions that are floating around for the upcoming midterms. Renewed citizen engagement, the revitalized gun control effort, the Me Too movement. Conversation contributing editor Neil Milner is with us in our studio to take the long view, wondering to what degree predictions of an upcoming sea change in American politics will come true. Good morning, Neil.
Hi, Chris.
We've been hearing it's become sort of an article of faith. Oh, boy, this year the midterms are going to see a real shakeup, and, you know, we're not going to turn back on gun control, and the kids from Parkland are inspiring us. And how much of that do you think is actually going to play out at the polls?
Well, the answer is we don't know, and there are reasons to be skeptical, sound reasons to be skeptical about it. But let me go back and say where this comes from. It comes, where I got interested in, again, was a recent study by Marcus Pryor and Lori Bueger published in the Public Opinion Quarterly, who took a look at interest and participation on the part of voters and possible voters in the 2016 race. Mm-hmm. And they looked at the difference between the way the media constantly described that, which is the way you just described
it. Right.
It was unprecedented, quote, like we have never seen before.
Yes.
And although the 2016 election was bizarre and often nutty, and often things happen that we said that's certainly going to change the dynamics here. Mm-hmm. It turns out that interest in and participation in the 2016 election, from that standpoint, the 2016 election was quite ordinary, that the voting turnout was not that particularly high, not that particularly low. Mm-hmm. The people, the Trump supporters, the white non-college males, didn't participate any more than they normally do. Mm-hmm. Viewership of cable news didn't change. What you saw instead was there was an initial increase early on in the primaries, probably because you had such a bizarre kind of primary. People watched the primary debates, but by the time the election moved on, we fell back into a typical kind of election pattern, which means the kinds of things I described, plus the usual relatively low voting turnout. The voting turnout in these elections were not, in the 2016, were not that particularly mm-hmm. high. So the cautionary tale is this. It's a reminder, as they point out in this article, of two things. Media tends to hype. That is, the media is about narrative, is about talking about the exceptional stuff, about change. Mm-hmm. What we know about the way people approach elections, that doesn't change very much. Mm-hmm. The kinds of interest we have, the kinds of ways we look for information is pretty stable. It doesn't change in any kind of extraordinary way, even if you have an election, which I would constitute as a pundit as totally nutty. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't really enough to make the change. So the analogy here is this. We're talking about the extraordinary response on the part of young voters, mm-hmm. Potential voters as a result of Parkland and so on. And it is extraordinary in terms of participation right now. But we, just because it's there and just because that's what the media is emphasizing, doesn't mean when the time comes for the 2018 election that we're going to have that.
These are what they're now referring to as optics, right? This is what you see on the on the television. It may or may not mean anything. You know, we've had a number of pivotal events that led to the birth of the Me Too movement mm-hmm. and the Parkland shooting. And each of those, just to use them as examples, has brought people into the streets in massive numbers. And a sensation in the narrative, in the media narrative du jour, that, okay, now this is a sea change. Now it's really going to bring about the change that a lot of people have been waiting for. But we've, you know, we said that after Sandy Hook with gun control. We've said it any number of times about a number of things, right?
Sure.
It doesn't necessarily play out at the polls.
No, and there's two things going on here in a general sense. I'm only talking about one of them. One thing is Congress's lack of willingness to respond to that because of the power of NRA. Mm-hmm. That's another side that's obviously important. Here I'm talking about the fact that what we see in these events is what you see right now and the kind of emotion that gets forward. Mm-hmm. An election is very different. First of all, an election is not today, it's later.
Right.
And that involves more people participating. And we really don't know very much about who's being influenced by this kind of thing. This is a very hard thing for me to talk about because I've had to have these discussions with lots of people who are totally enamored by the Parkland kids and all of that in their courage. But to remind them that voter turnout, especially among young 18 to whatever, 20-something.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little bit of evidence that that's changing. Voter turnout among in any group doesn't change very much from election to election, and the young voters are always the least likely to vote.
Mm-hmm.
In the Virginia primary recently, where the Democrat in the Virginia election, the Democrat did very well. The voter turnout from the younger voters was twice what it normally is. And it was 34% rather than 17%. Now, that was a very particular election. So that there is some possibilities out there that it will increase. But there's no reason to assume that the passion that you see will translate into the normal person's concern about this election.
And that leads to just the thought I just had, Neil, which is that pouring into the streets in the wake of a Parkland shooting for a demonstration the Women's March that was part of the Me Too movement. These are these are done in hot blood, right? They're done when the blood is up. They're acts of political passion. Getting up on a Tuesday when you've got to go to work and trying to figure out where your voting place is not a particularly intense emotional act. People don't pour into the streets to vote. They go, oh, yeah, today's election day. I don't think I'm going to make it. I got to go to work, whatever. My point is one is a hot-blooded, the other is a cold-blooded decision.
And for most people, not the people that talk about politics all the time, politics is not hot-blooded. Politics is more or less following. So the fact that you have a lot of these people on and on television and that it's very controversial, the parties are somewhat polarized about that, doesn't mean that your average person is paying that much attention to it, is following things. If the pattern stays the same, then it's a relatively low, ordinary kind of participation. The real question is whether something is extraordinary enough to change people's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind how many times your friends who were Trump opponents said, he's done something so extraordinary
now,
this time.
Now he's done it.
And guess what? It's never happened.
Yeah.
And that's not just about Trump and his demagoguery or anything else. It's also about the way our minds tend to work about politics.
It reflects an understanding on the part of him and his people how intensely people respond or do not respond to events.
Sure. Sure. A lot of what an election is about is non-response, ordinary patterns, relatively lack of interest. And even when you think you have an extraordinary election, it turns out that a lot of the patterns remain the same because our basic views and our basic notions to pay attention or not pay attention to politics really are quite stable.
You know, I think there's a lot of sense in what you're telling me, Neil. And also,
I hope so.
why else would you be here?
Well, I don't know.
But notwithstanding, and I think there's probably a lot of truth in that, it's going to be a heck of an election year.
For sure, for all kinds of other reasons.
Yeah.
Again, there's all kinds of unprecedented things, literally unprecedented things going on. The number of Republicans in Congress who are not running for re-election.
Right.
The low approval rating of the president, which in normal midterm elections is an important factor. But also on the other side of that, the polarization of opinions about him, that Republicans highly support him, highly, highly, and Democrats low, low. All of these things are extraordinary in some ways. How this will translate into the election remains to be seen. It's going to mix in with these fairly stable patterns.
As Betty Davis once said, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yes, it is.
Political analyst Neil Milner is our contributing editor for our biweekly segment, The Long View.